25 years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia continues to confound the rest of the world. After more than 2 years as head of NPR's Moscow News Bureau, David Greene decided to chase after one last story in Russia before returning to Washington to co-host Morning Edition. And he's written a book about it. The book's called Midnight in Siberia. And in this book, David describes what he learned about everyday life in the new Russia for its average citizen, out in the small towns and the villages scattered between Moscow and the Pacific coast, so many time zones away. Alexandra's calling in from Wellfleet, Massachusetts. Alexandra, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I just want to say that I love this book. I read it last week, actually, and I have a question for David. I was curious because one of the places you went is Ekaterinburg, and the train went through there, as I understand. And yet you didn't go, as far as I know, to see what happened, the place where the Tsar and his family were murdered there. And so I was curious because you did make little side trips, you know, from time to time, like when you went to see the memorial plaque in Rybinsk to the victims of the Gulag. And I was just curious why you didn't go to explore Ekaterinburg, because that's such a famous place because for so many people, because that's where the Tsar was murdered.
You know, I will say, and this wasn't a hard and fast rule, but oftentimes, as I would kind of design my schedule, if it was limited, I would not go to places where most tourists had been. I wanted to see less traveled places. And the stop in Yekaterinburg was actually mostly to see a gentleman I had met before. His name is Andrei Gordilov, and his father lives in a village called Sagra, which is about an hour outside of Yekaterinburg. And I had met this family on the first railroad trip, and I wanted to meet them again because, to me, they said so much about kind of Russia and the change or lack of, because they had gone through this weird experience in their village where this gang was trying to take over. The villagers called the police never showed up, and the villagers fought off the gang, and the villagers ended up being charged with hooliganism. And they fought these charges, got the charges dropped. And this guy, Andrei Gordilov, said to me, publicity was our protection. And I thought, well, there's a democratic value. Hmm. And then we started talking about democracy, and he said, but don't try to bring your American system to Russia. And I said, why not? And he said, because we have a different mentality. And he started talking about the Arab Spring and feeling like the upheaval in the Arab Spring in countries like Libya. He said, it's just not worth it. You know, the people will be worse off after Gaddafi is out of power. We talked about Russian politics. We talked about American politics. And I just saw how there are small battles taking place, small battles that are bringing Russians more to a place where they're familiar with the kind of values that we appreciate, but that it's not necessarily this jump to democracy. Now, Alexandra, I know it's a long, long answer to your question, but it was stories like that that I was going for, and not going to places that are sort of the tourist stops. Now, if I were a tourist and I were taking the train and I went to Yekaterinburg, seeing where the Tsar's family was killed would be the first place I would go.
Okay. I didn't realize so many tourists went there. But anyway, I learned a lot about how Russians see the world through your book. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. And all is relative. I don't think a ton of tourists go there, but it's one of the more well-traveled places when people are traveling. Hey, thank you for reading the book. And you're on Cape Cod, right? I love Wellfleet.
Yes. It's a beautiful place.
It's a lovely little town. Really, really nice.
Thanks for your call, Alexandra.
Sure. Thanks for taking me on.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.